Very good. All right. I want to share with you a few things this morning about Jesus' words, which is usually what we do anyway. So I thought I would continue on with that. And I want to start out with a couple of examples from this fellowship, this congregation. Some of us are here and some of us are not. That's okay. So I'm going to start with the ones who are not here. We'll start talking about them. And I'll point that out. All right. Richard Walker, as you know, lives right over here, right in Park, right next door. And Richard and Hetty. And they're not able to be with us this weekend because of their 4th of July plans. However, during the past year, Richard had joined in with Larry and Susan, as well as Bill Weatherford, who is away suffering for Jesus at the beach, or so, whatever it may be, nonetheless. And we would get together and do some Bible study and some discipleship, encouraging one another. And one of the things we did along the way was we prayer walked that neighborhood about 4 times to great benefit. And one of the things Richard suggested, which was the last time we had the chance to do this, he said, one of our neighbors who everyone knew and liked and was a young man, I believe he was 57, died suddenly. And what I'd like to do is dedicate our next prayer walk to him, in his memory. And I'd like to invite everyone in the neighborhood to come. I said, Richard, that is an absolutely great idea. So he found the right person to send out that email. You know, there's one in every neighborhood, you know. So he knew who that was and sent it out. And 20, maybe 25 people showed up that afternoon, ready to go, just because of the great love for this man, that who was their neighbor and their friend. We walked the entire, Patty was there, in fact. You and I walked together for a little while. It was a great afternoon, wasn't it? Yeah, really, really was. Let me start with a prayer. They did not let me take an offering. I asked. They said, no, we're not going to, absolutely not. So we were having a great time. It was fun. And I don't know if you noticed, Patty, of course, Larry and Susan were there too. As we were walking along the neighborhoods, there were people at the doors watching us who, for whatever reason, couldn't get out, shut in or whatever. And it was very, very significant, very significant. So there was a group of us had, if you will, a mission, and we banded together and did what we needed to do to carry it out. Now, there's another one, another example I would like for you to know about, and that is Evelyn lives right over here off Mannequin Road through the woods to Marion's house over there, and not too far from Susan, actually, right over there. And other individuals and families who live right in that area. And there's a young mother over there. Correct me if I'm wrong, Evelyn, but get the details wrong. But there was a young woman, and during her pregnancy, you decided to have a shower for her, right? Is that what it was? Great. So you all banded together, had a baby shower for this young woman, to her great encouragement. It was a wonderful, wonderful event that you all just had in your neighborhood. Did you notice I started saying y'all, too? Did you notice that? Okay, right. Right. Nonetheless, you know, like, hardly even noticed it. That's right. Okay, if you don't stop, I'm going to start saying all y'all, and then you'll see. All right, but nonetheless... Is there any details that I just don't know about that you might want to mention about that event? You're going on. You're supporting that young woman and her child. Wonderful. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Excellent. That's excellent. That's wonderful. So it's just a few of us here getting together, seeing something that we can do. I think God puts those kinds of things on your mind. And you band together, start doing what you need to do together, and then off you go. And it's hard to stop. You know, the next thing you know, they all want to do it again. Or who knows? Very, very important kind of thing in the way that we respond to God. And it's something that God will open up more and more among us, I believe, very deeply. And a part of that is understanding what Jesus says today when he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He says, "For my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Now, most of the time when we think of a yoke, it's heavy. We think of a heavy yoke, and we think of it's a burden. And even if we go and take Jesus' yoke, that's going to be even heavier because it's Jesus, and we have to do it right, or else who knows what's going to happen. And all these things, the Bible, I don't understand it. All kinds of things can start going through our minds. And yet Jesus says, "Take my yoke because it's easy." Now, where we kind of miss what's happening, where we lose it, is how in the world is that yoke easy? How do you take the yoke of Jesus? So I want to unpack that with us today because I believe there is a specific and particular approach and view of how that works so that we can actually take the yoke of Jesus and actually learn of him in a way that perhaps wasn't obvious to us before. So one of the things to keep in mind with Jesus is that we want to do things the way Jesus did things. And that's the beginning of taking his yoke. Now, that's a very different matter than what was popular a few years back, as I had mentioned to you from time to time, WWJD, what would Jesus do? There's a flaw in that approach, and the flaw is it's upon you to figure out what Jesus would do, and usually we're not thinking that the Holy Spirit will enable us to do that. That's usually the flaw in that approach. And I want to replace that with this: what did Jesus do? So we look and see what Jesus did do, and we do that. That's taking up his lifestyle. So instead of what would Jesus do, there we are with some dilemma, some question. We don't know the answer. Somebody's giving us trouble or something's gone wrong, and we're thinking, well, what would Jesus do? I don't know. But what did Jesus do is our entire life, all of it, every piece of it, and we are able then to take up the lifestyle that Jesus had, and we imitate him, we follow after him. A huge part of the lifestyle that Jesus had was being in community, or if you prefer, which I do, in a family. So what we never see is Jesus doing something alone unless he's trying to get away from the 12 that he chose to follow him for at least a little bit of time so he can have some alone time with his Father. And even that's not alone for Jesus. He is almost always a single man in a family that he has drawn together around him who are pursuing a certain goal or mission. And for us to take the yoke of Jesus means that we do the same thing. We begin coalescing, if you will, in groups, in families who do the same kind of thing together for the same goal. That's an extremely important part of following Jesus. When you do that, you've begun taking the yoke upon him. That's upon you. And you begin learning of him in that context. Now, and the yoke is a very interesting image. And what we have here is the picture usually of two places in a yoke. And usually we think of oxen or horses or whatever to run the plow or bring a wagon along. And usually that works best. You know, the plow, the line that's plowed is a straight line, or the wagon gets there the best way when the two animals are in step, doing the same thing. And in fact, sometimes in some training of animals, you put an animal who doesn't know the correct gait with the animal who does know the correct gait, and hopefully the one who knows the correct gait wins. But you know, that's how you learn it. The one imitates the other. And for us, we take on the yoke, we enter into a family situation, a spiritual family, where I, who don't know what I'm doing about a certain action of the spiritual life, begin imitating another person in that group who does know what they're doing with the spiritual life. And then that way we're yoked, and Jesus is the driver. That yoke is easy, and that burden is light. That's why Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Very different from mimicking. Mimicking is where, did you ever see that Monty Python skit, The Minister of Crazy Walks? Well, never mind. It's just, you know, look it up on YouTube, and it'll be a good Silly Walk, Minister of Silly Walks, that's right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's mimicking, and that's why it's hilarious. Or you that old joke, walk this way, you know, so you try to do the same gait as somebody else. Imitating is where you learn what it is to connect with Jesus in the way somebody else has. And maybe you don't say the same exact prayer words, but you've learned what it is when you pray, how you've connected to Jesus, because you saw somebody else do it. You stood next to them when they did it. You knew what was happening when that went on. That's a family on mission. That yoke is easy. Very different than me telling you, as your priest, you've got to pray every day. God bless you. See you next week. And then off you go. So what am I going to do now? How does that work? That yoke is heavy. Okay, so we try to do things that begin opening that up. A number of you have been in a huddle with me where we do that for some time, or just sharing or so forth. That's how that goes. Now, that's taking the yoke of Jesus, is entering into a community, a family on mission together. That's the yoke. You learn of him by learning what he loves. And Jesus has three great loves. One, up to the Father. The second one is in to the fellowship that he was creating, his followers. And the third was out to the world. When we are learning of Jesus, what we're learning is how to love the Father, how to love each other, and how to love the world. Because we're following him as he does it. And it's not just, I love this and I love that and whatever, I love Mexican food, whatever it may be. What it is that you learn how to love exactly as Jesus loved. You learn to love what he loved, the way he loved, and you love that. So for us, the way that those three loves would work is that we would come together in the family on mission because we take that yoke upon us. And having taken it upon us, we learn of him. So together, that group begins worshiping together in some way. It's the love of the Father. And then together, that group begins supporting one another, seeking each other's success, upholding each other, whatever it may be, so that that group can then run after that mission together. And then the easiest one would be loving the world, because that family on mission would have come together to reach the same goal, to run after the same cause. The secular kind of cultural description of that is the apple didn't fall too far from the tree. That is a family going after the same thing, loving the same thing, working together for the same thing. That's what Jesus would have us do. That's what it is to take his yoke and learn of him. That, I believe, is sometimes the missing link in what it is to follow Jesus, to do the things that we talk about. It's the missing link in learning how to share our faith, or how to listen to his voice in prayer, or how to understand the Bible. We feel that we need to do it on our own. In fact, our image of God quite often is that God, one being, sends his church, usually one person at a time, out into the world. However, Jesus never experienced anything like that. What Jesus experienced was the community of the Trinity, the best community of them all, and he was always in it. And he was sent by that community to form another one, form another family. Even though he's a single man, he formed a family. And then from there, he was able with that family to reach out to others together. That's what we're called to do. That's how we take up that yoke. That's how we learn what Jesus was like. That's how we move ahead. That's how we grow. That's how St. Francis grows in that manner. This is very different from being creative and trying this or trying that and hoping something works and whatever. What if it does work? What if we come up with something really expensive, really hard to do, really high maintenance, and it works? Then we got to keep spending money, keep spending energy, keep with the high maintenance until we're just completely depleted. However, if we take a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light, and we follow after him together, many, many more doors open. So how would this work for us? How would this idea begin to take flesh for us? Because it's very important. See, what I'm describing to you is not only the what you might say the infrastructure or the skeleton of a discipleship culture, but the texture. What does it feel like? When you're in the middle of it, what's going on? And what do you sense? That's the texture of that. And what you sense are things like this. A flow of encouragement that goes from a group of neighbors to someone who's new, who's about to have a baby. And it runs so deep, they want to do it again. Or another group of neighbors who comes together to walk their entire neighborhood praying for all the houses, all the families, and everything that goes on out of honor for someone that is taken from them too early. That's the texture of it. That is the flesh on the bones of what Jesus is calling us to do. And there may be some of us even here this morning with a smaller group who didn't go away this weekend, where there is a goal inside of you that's God-given. And that goal or that focus takes on flesh, gains texture, feels like hope in a family on the same mission. See, what drives these groups, what drives these families, what drives these neighborhood events is the love of the world. It's reaching out. It's not so much love of worship and love of each other that drives those families. It is what are we going to do outside of ourselves that keeps driving and motivating and deepening that family and drawing them together to love each other and drawing them into worship to get more of the Father. It's that outside goal. That picture of a family like that, then multiplied several times, or maybe many times, is the kind of church that Jesus was calling into being when he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, which is what we're called to do. So here are some steps that I want to encourage you to take. Because what we're going to do, like through the rest of the year, is really look at more deeply at how that works. And we have been, as you probably noticed, looking at it all year. When in January we said, our goal, our desire is to have people belong here so they can become all they were going to become. That's what a family does. And we may need have several families all meeting under this roof. What is God having bubble up within you about this? What do you sense or feel or hear or think as these things start crossing your mind and kind of flowing over your soul? What sort of picture does it give you? You personally, how would that begin taking flesh in your life? There may be a step he starts giving you to take. You may have already seen it. You might see it right now and how that works. That's what I want to encourage you over these next weeks to be thinking about and praying about and seeing what it is. Seeing what it is for you to take up that yoke of Jesus, which is easy, and the burden, which is light, so that you can move ahead and be a tremendous, rich, wonderful, powerful blessing in the lives of others who may know nothing of what we do here, but through that would come to know it. Let's stand and come before the Lord. Father, we ask that you would show yourself as our Father and do the things you desire to draw us into families and draw others who are alone into those families so that your name would be glorified everywhere we go. We ask all that in the name of Jesus. Amen.